This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the United States, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon from London, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. Good to be back with you.
To say that the last few days since we last spoke has been crazy, interesting, fascinating is an understatement, really, because the history books will write about what has actually happened over the last few days. And of course, there's plenty more to come. The big question is, how has it affected markets? And Trump's speeches, we had his speech to the Senate last night. And of course, the repercussions following that Zelensky media conference on Friday, and in between all the stuff about tariffs, which has been here, there and everywhere. But there seems to be a bit of rowing back now. Nick, if I come to you first, the dollar is particularly weak today. As we know, US stock markets have been very turbulent and have been certainly down over the last two or three days. And they lost at one point all of their gains since President Trump became the president again. And there are, of course, rumors of the Fed thinking about not one or two rate cuts in the future, but more. So what is your overview about what is going on?
Well, Johnny, I've said it a couple times on the podcast, but we have a, in some ways, easier, in some ways, more difficult job this year. In the positive regard, we have a lot to talk about. And in the negative, it's very complex, very difficult stuff. And I think a lot of people have questions. I'm going to start where it's easiest. The knee-jerk reaction stuff that happened this morning was on the economic data front. Of course, by the time this podcast gets released, I'm sure there will be new headlines to discuss. But for today, what we had is some ADP non-farm employment change numbers that came in soft and pretty substantially soft. We were forecasting for 141,000 jobs in the private payroll sector. We got 77,000. So that's a big miss. And no revisions to save the day either there. So, you know, ADP was weak. The market sold off initially to that. I'm talking specifically about the S&P, but could be applied to the dollar as well, which has seen massive downside. We'll talk about in just a second. You take a look at ISM services PMI, did it save the day? Kind of, but it wasn't a huge, massive winning number. The market is just not easily appeased right now. Stock market specifically, the S&P 500 from peak to its lowest point of yesterday was down about 6.7%. So that's a good size sell-off, but I think it's the speed at which case this market is selling off that has investors a little bit concerned. I mean, there's tariffs, there's slowing economic data, there's outlook reports that look a little bit soft for the consumer. There is many ways you can pick fun at the state of the market at this time. Now, you mentioned the US dollar. Most currencies doing pretty well against the dollar here recently. If we take a look at the dollar, it's down almost 1% on the index level just today. I mean, if you take a look at the daily chart, the last 3 days have just been nothing but a fallout here for the dollar index. You know, just a few short weeks ago at the beginning of the year, Johnny, we were looking at a 110 read for the dollar index. We're now sitting at a 104.5 and change. I mean, that is a pretty good sell-off in a very short period of time. And it's largely because of what you mentioned just a moment ago with Fed expectations. But there's something here that is so interesting, which is the Fed is expected to now cut rates a couple of times this year, but for very different reasons than what people were wanting them to cut rates for. There was this expectation that inflation's going to cool off and we can finally see the Fed cut and we're going to go running off into the sunset together with stock markets at all-time highs. Now what we're getting is, okay, yeah, you're getting interest rate yields going lower. If you take a look at like the 10-year yield, you can see that's been falling alongside the dollar. But inflation numbers are not the resolve here. They're not the reason that this is coming down. It's because of what we just mentioned. We have ADP numbers coming in soft. You have JOLTS job numbers coming in soft. Take your pick. A lot of different indicators here that were flashing very green, very positive, are now starting to look a little bit soft. And it's mostly growth concerns, I would argue, that is causing the fall in yields, as well as a topic that I know Kenny wanted to mention, oil prices down, I think, are largely impacted by some of this as well.
That's correct, Nick. Oil prices, we're seeing a real sharp drop today. Brent crude is down about 3% on the day. It's about 5.6% on the week to around $71. So really a very sharp and quick descent. as you mentioned, with all the turbulence going on, oil prices are also affected by that. And we've seen that OPEC has announced that they will boost their output. Again, getting to President Trump, he's been pushing on them. A couple of weeks ago, he said he was surprised that OPEC had not cut prices. So he's certainly not hesitant to stick his finger into what's going on with oil prices. And as far as the U.S. tariffs, there is that connection that the U.S. has again slapped tariffs on Canada and Mexico. We'll see what happens with that. But those tariffs do include really a tax on oil imports from both Canada and Mexico. So OPEC is worried about that. And perhaps consumers need to be worried about that because that could quickly raise the price of oil. But in the meantime, we're definitely seeing a lot of volatility with oil prices, and that may continue.
Regarding tariffs, guys, there seems to be a little bit of rowing back over the last few hours. As you said, Nick, things can change by the minute, let alone the hour. And there are now suggestions that there may not be tariffs on the motor industry, which of course would affect European markets considerably. A huge part of the EU GDP is made up of the motor industry, something like 13%, which is a crazy amount to be reliant on. With all these mixed messages coming across from the Trump administration regarding tariffs, when you look at what's happening to Canada, Mexico, and particularly the EU, China is another matter. We've had some threats perhaps from China today that they're all ready for an all-out trade war or worse, which again is going to make markets feel very uncertain and concerned. This geopolitical stuff, it's affecting everything. You know, there are some people who are suggesting that tariffs of this size are absolutely crazy and the global economy just won't be able to take it. Very difficult for markets and for those investors to really know what to do at the moment. Maybe some are just holding their breath and just waiting for the next move.
I think that the gold chart here reflects a little bit of that uncertainty. That alongside the VIX up quite a bit here recently. Gold has been holding up pretty well in a market that has been terrified, right? Frankly, based on what you're saying. It's very hard to predict this stuff because, you know, it's all seemingly in Trump's head. Because if, you know, if this is one big negotiation tactic, knowing that the GDPs of Mexico and Canada are largely dependent on foreign exports to the USA, if this is a negotiation tactic, and it goes to a battle of attrition of time between the three countries, really. It's going to be one that very disproportionately negatively affects, at least in my opinion and many economists' opinion, these neighboring countries to the United States. I saw a stat, and you know, listeners, please double fact check me here, but I believe it is around just under 3% of the U.S. GDP is exports to these two countries. But for Canada and for Mexico, the exports to the United States, and again, please fact check me, I just believe they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 60%+ of their GDP.
Wow.
Is built around exports. I mean, you got to think Canada's only neighbor by land, you know, proximity is the United States. They manufacture and send a ton of stuff here. You know, this is just pure speculation from my part, but I think that this is a negotiation thing. And I think that at the end of the day, who's going to come out absolutely on top? I don't know. I think it could actually go either ways. You know, I think Trump wants to see these countries come to the table and cede some of the things that he wants. Or maybe what will happen is Trump will realize he's not getting what he wants quick enough. And, you know, maybe find a way to spin it as a win, but concede some of the previous requirements. You know, we'll see. But I think any of that kind of news, the market will love. Any of this continued, we don't know, you know, how long this goes, and both countries kind of taking up the proverbial arms in the trade war on both sides, Mexico and Canada, and by the way, the rest of the world. You know, I think that continues to be a massive risk and uncertainty to the markets. Again, there's spread out thoughts here on this, on the economist side, of how much this impacts the global economy, whether this is, you know, absolute fallout or if this is not. But I think one thing is for sure, we don't know for certain. And that uncertainty is causing markets to sell now and ask questions later.
Nick, I think your analysis is spot on. I hope you're correct that it's a negotiating tactic. One perhaps silver lining in this whole episode is that this is Trump 2.0, and we've seen from the first presidency that he did use tariffs against a lot of countries and a lot of products, and essentially as a negotiating tactic. So perhaps the markets will, I'm not sure, be calmed down by that, but at least we're dealing with the devil that we know, in a sense. If it is a negotiating tactic, as you said, Canada and Mexico are much more dependent on the states. They'll have to come around. They're going to promise to put their own tariffs. But I'm still worried about China, because they're a very large economy, and they're not going to take this sitting down, as we saw last time. And I've been writing in some of my posts that with a trade war, there's no real winners. I mean, Trump may claim that the states will win, but against China, it's just going to be a loss for everybody. And the American consumer is going to suffer also. He's not talking about that with inflation, higher products. So there is a domestic price to all of this, which will be very interesting to see how it unfolds.
And even Trump has accepted that there will be short-term pain for what he thinks will be long-term gain, but he can't prove that one way or the other, really. Most economists and most commentators are extremely worried about this level of tariffs and the fact that actually they will just be a self-harm to the United States. But who knows where we're going with it? I just wanted to ask you, Kenny, I know the Aussie dollar is particularly strong today, as are most currencies against the US dollar, but why the Australian dollar particularly?
Okay, that's correct, Johnny. I'm just, as we speak, the Australian dollar is up 1.5% this week. It's having a pretty good run, and there are a few reasons. We've seen the Reserve Bank of Australia, the central bank, publish its minutes yesterday, and they were unsurprisingly fairly hawkish. The RBA is talking about not continuing to cut rates unless they see inflation is lower. We had a solid retail sales report, and today Australian GDP beat the forecast. So we had 1.3% growth in the fourth quarter. That was the strongest in over a year. So the economy seems to be pulling together a little bit. And what I find interesting, there's a bit of a discrepancy, which is perhaps not so uncommon, between market perceptions of what the RBA is going to do and what the RBA itself is saying. So the markets are expecting the RBA to continue cutting rates. Right now, the rates are at 4.1%, and they're looking at another 50 basis points. So that we're looking at around 3.6% in the cash rate by the end of the year. But the RBA itself is sounding much more hawkish about cutting rates. So we'll have to see how that unfolds.
Okay, well, of course, on Friday, we're going to get the latest non-farm payroll numbers, the US jobs data. That'll be fascinating. If we get another fall in jobs, as we've seen also today with other indices, that might lead to another interest rate cut sooner rather than later. And of course, President Trump will be quite happy about that. Guys, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you on Friday.
Always nice to be with you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.